Welcome back, everybody. This is actually going to be our second installment of the Search for Context. Me and Liz are going to continue to dive through different things that seem to come up in our studies and when we're going through the Bible and things that kind of pop out at us or questions that we get from people we know or individuals that are in our lives. And that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to help strengthen the church. We're supposed to help strengthen those around us. So this week we're going to dive in a little bit more into something that we've kind of have on our hearts, because we both feel that this effect at times, and that's spiritual warfare. And there's a lot of people out there that have different definitions to spiritual warfare, how they feel they experience it and what it means. And I do believe there is many different levels and layers of this, but we're gonna dig into that.
Yes, we are.
She wants to do a podcast and then doesn't want to talk.
No, that's not true. I just kind of looked at me after you did the introduction. I don't know what else you want me to say to add to that.
I don't know. What is your take on spiritual warfare? What's your basic overall arcing when you feel like you're having spiritual warfare happen to you? How do you feel like it's attacking you?
Well, spiritual warfare, I think for me, is like, again, I know we've talked about this, and I know I've talked about this before on the mustard seed and everything. It's just, it attacks people differently as far as how it comes at you, because it's going to go for your weakest link. It's going to know where you're the most vulnerable. And so for me, when I'm undergoing a lot of spiritual warfare, it's just it's either you're getting lost in the busyness that is our life, you know, between work, soccer, you know, church events or and other just social events, everything that we have. And so then you're just continually being busy, which causes you not be able to have any rest, you know, and to get into your Bible. Or for me, it attacks my mental state. It'll go into where I am going down the rabbit holes in my brain that I make up, whether it's a scenario that I've taken and blown completely out of context, or just something that I noticed and it bugged me more than it should have, or, you know, there's an idea gets planted by who knows what, you know, and then you just kind of, your whole mind is on a offset for the whole day. So, but I know spiritual warfare looks different for everybody, and it looks different for everybody in different phases of life. Like, that's just me now. That's not how it was, you know, when I was younger, or and it's probably not going to be the same when I'm older, because the minute you learn how to kind of combat that and you have that guard up, you have your helmet of salvation on, you have your you know, your breastplate of righteousness, all that stuff that's protecting, you know, when you actually have stuff that's secure in place, the Satan, for lack of a better term, you know, the evil, darkness, whatever you want to call it, finds your next one. Okay, what's next? And then goes from there.
And I think that is, especially when you already have, when you're a Christian, it's going to attack you even harder when you have a foundation in Jesus, because those who are lost, Satan already has them. So, but that's not to say they're not attacked too. There's so many different levels and layers to this. But you brought up the spiritual armor of God. So I want to kind of read over that, because I think when we talk about the armor of God, when this is brought up about spiritual warfare, many times it's brought up as a, you just put this stuff on and, you know, metaphorically speaking, and then you are going to be able to handle what Timmy says to you that day, or what, you know, if John calls you a name, or Beth is mean to you. And I'm not saying that the Word of God doesn't have comfort for us when we're attacked by human people, but there's always something, I say human people as opposed to other kinds of people, but there's always something behind that. And this is, you know, sin is in this world. We do have a sinful human nature. We do have a lot of, you know, the things that we have to deal with because of the sin that's in our life. However, if we go back to even, so for example, Jesus was sinless, right? If we go back mm-hmm. and we look at the temptation of Jesus in the desert, mm-hmm. Satan still goes after those things which he knows most humans would want. Oh, you know what? You can, you're starving. Just turn these rocks into bread. You know, you're, it says the angels will catch you if you jump off the top of the temple here. You know, it's if you bow down to me, you can have all of these kingdoms. So he's tempted over and over and over again. The difference is Jesus was perfect and could withstand all temptation, could withstand different spiritual attacks.
The thing I think that's most important about that, though, the whole temptation, and that's something that I strive for, and I know that you do, and a lot of people are, you know, we all try to, but he combated Satan with the word. So he was running it. If you want to talk about the, you know, you're talking about the armor of God that's laid out in Ephesians, but you're talking, he's running everything through the belt of truth. He's running it through like, okay, well, yeah, we'll do that. But he combats 100% with scripture. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I think is always important. Like when we're going through those moments, when those arrows are coming at you and you're having to deflect from every angle, the most important thing to do, and I know I fall short in, because I like to be in my little wallow moment, unfortunately, sometimes. But the most important thing is to remember that you need to go back. You need to be in the word. You need to be able to combat what's coming at you with the word of God, because that is your biggest weapon.
And I think that that is the very exceptionally well said, because the reason the word is so important, and let's read this section of Ephesians. I'm going to read Ephesians 6:10 through 18. It says, "A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of an unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert, be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere." You talked about the arrows. Mm-hmm. It's important to know where the arrows come from. Mm-hmm. It says right here, "We are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities in the unseen world, against mighty powers of this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places." Now, why is the word of God so important? Because we can't fight against something we can't see. We can't fight against something that's so much stronger in that spiritual realm without God. Mm-hmm. So when you don't have God, the effects of the world, the effects of sin in this world, it's much easier for that to overtake you, for you to have that veil over your eyes where you allow sin in, and you can rationalize sin. You can take these things and say, oh, it's not that big a deal, it's not this. Whereas as Christians, we're attacked with these things throughout the world. The different, even certain churches, like the United Methodist Church allowing gay ministers and things like this, or we have just so many different things where we're bending to the cultural norms rather than sticking to the biblical teaching. Mm-hmm. And that is a very scary thing in this world, because many people are just caving to not hurt feelings. So, but we in this passage here are supposed to put on that spiritual armor of God Because without that armor of God, how do we combat a spiritual enemy, a supernatural enemy?
Well, the whole point, again, is just that it's not anything that we can do on our own. It's running it through the Word of God and taking that and using that as our weapon, as our sword. And, you know, that also includes the discernment. The more you're in God's Word, the more you have it, that you're able to use it as your weapon, then you also have the ability and the better hearing to hear the discernment and his voice. So you understand kind of where you're supposed to go and what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to protect yourself or to defend yourself.
So when we look at this and we think about how great our God is and, mm-hmm. and how amazing he is. In Psalm 89:7, it says, "The highest angelic powers stand in awe of God. He is far more awesome than all who surround his throne." Now, the highest angelic powers, there's fallen angels, mm-hmm. as well as the angels that are still, you know, God's angels in heaven. Now, the highest angelic powers were still created by God. Some of those fallen angelic powers, as well as demonic forces and things of that nature, depending on your belief on demons. I choose to believe the Book of Enoch's take on the Book of Demons, that it's the spirits of the Nephilim that were doomed to, that was their punishment, was to be the demons of this world, always thirsting, always hungering, but not having the ability to have those things. Those things are what's attacking us.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are what come at us, but yet they still stand in awe of who God was. Like in, I think it's in Mark, it's in two books of the Bible, but when he goes across the Sea of Galilee and there's the demon-possessed man, "I am Legion,"
mm-hmm.
right? They, before he says anything, "Have you come to torment us before our time?" They're terrified of Jesus. They know who Jesus is, and that's who's got our back, right?
Mm-hmm.
They said, "Even let us go into the pigs before you do anything else. We just don't want to go back." So we have to know that God, the highest angelic powers, still stand in awe of God. And I think that's so cool. And if we think about the fact, and I know we're jumping around a little bit here, and I apologize, it's mostly my fault. Liz is much better at not jumping around as much as me. I'm very, woo. Well, there's a quarter.
Squirrel.
Yep. But God has our back, right? God created us in his image.
Mm-hmm.
God did this for his glory. And he loves us. It says that even in the womb, right, he knit us together. He knew the hairs on your head. He knew everything about you before you were born. God put you together in the womb. That's how much he loves you. In Romans 8:38, it says, "I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love." Those are the powers, those unseen forces, those principalities that are attacking us.
Mm-hmm.
God loves us so much. But we have free will. We have a choice to pick up our Bible. We have a choice to pray to him, to come to him, to ask for strength, to ask for guidance, to ask for these things when we're going through times of struggle, when we're attacked. But he loves us that much that he gave us free will on top of that. That's actually a gift all on its own. That's a whole nother story for another time, but the fact is he loves us that much that nothing can separate us from that. So he gives us the tools, being the Word, as you said initially, mm-hmm. which is so important to be in your Word. And I stress this very frequently, but we have, I love our church. We have one of the most amazing pastors you could ever ask for. But if I go to church and I'm strictly listening to him, our pastor, Doug, is still not infallible. He's still a man. I listen, he's a phenomenal preacher. He's a phenomenal shepherd of his flock. He's amazing. But we don't listen to a man without going back to the word. If we are strictly listening to somebody and not being in our Bibles to see what God has to say to us, we're doing ourselves a massive disservice.
Well, I'm not discrediting what you're stating, but it's also being in the word is checking your sources, right? It's making sure that what they're preaching is actually what the word says, which is extremely important because, I mean, I'm going to be the first to admit that I might know it's in the Bible, but I might not know where. But if you always want to make sure that if somebody's talking on Jesus's and God's and everybody's behalf, that you're checking what they're stating. Mm-hmm. You know, there's many times people will be posting Bible verses and I'm like, that's not what it says, you know? And that's why I harp on being in the physical word. I mean, your phones are a great thing. It's something I tell our kids, you know, your phones are a great tool to have when you're out and you want to read the Bible, you want to read something, or, I mean, not that they do that, but, you know, I know like when they're in youth group or when they're in children's ministry, they're like, well, I have my phone, I don't need to bring my Bible. No, you need to bring your Bible because I want the word of God, when it's actually written down, can't be changed. Whereas if you're putting it in on a platform, it can. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it is. The Bible app is an amazing tool. I'm not blaspheming at all for saying that something's all wrong with the Bible app. But I just want it as a precaution. Like, you need to make sure that you have a physical copy to be able to check everything. But I also think, if you want to go back, so if I'm going to steal your line, we're going to back it back up a little bit.
I don't say that very often anymore.
Okay.
Let's back it up. Go back to what you're saying.
That it's important to realize, again, we're going to talk about context, where Paul was when he's writing about, you know, standing on your faith. The man was in prison, you know, and so he's surrounded by the Roman guards, which I know originally when I first started looking into this, I was like, well, obviously that's where he got it from, because he's looking at these Roman soldiers going, okay, well, yeah, if we're going to put on, we got to put on an armor of God, right? Because there are things that are going on that we just can't see. But I didn't realize until later on, like digging into this a little bit more, that came from Isaiah. Like, Isaiah wrote this out, talking about the armor of God. Paul just took it and expanded, because he took what we already knew, even in Daniel, talking about the things, again, that we cannot see. So in my, like, spiritual warfare for me, I can't see it because I wasn't gifted in that. That is not my spiritual gift. But, you know, I always see it. We've seen it depicted in memes or in, you know, reels or in movies, books, everything, where, you know, there's kids on a playground. And then, you know, you kind of pan out, and so you kind of, I would say, pan out to a different dimension, and you're seeing the good versus evil, you know, as far as like the angels protecting the kids and, you know, evil trying to come at them, come at their parents, come at, you know, around schools, you know, the angels surrounding schools. And, you know, that's when we pray for the hedge of protection to be around our house, you know, around schools, around, you know, churches. I mean, that's what I see. You know, you see that line, the enemy, not the enemy, but the defense line around your home that God has placed. And so, you know, and I know, I mean, and something that's at least helped me a little bit, when I know I'm underneath the spiritual attack, when I've actually been able to address it and not just let it go and just kind of wallow in it or let it just kind of consume me, I can see it as, you know, you know, in my head, I'm like, you can almost see like your guardian angel. If you subscribe to that one, but you know, some you're being protected from that, but yet things are getting through because you're allowing them. Like, you're not assisting, you're not combating anything. You're allowing them to do it all, but you also need to make sure that, again, that you're trying to get that discernment back out.
That was Vicki Joy Anderson. One of her best lines that I ever loved from one of the interviews I did with her. She wrote the book, They Only Come Out at Night, which was it's a book about her struggle with sleep paralysis, which is an amazing book. And the spiritual warfare that's involved in that is really heavy.
But extremely interesting.
But but she said, you don't have to leave the door open. Sometimes all you do is have to leave the window open a crack.
Yeah.
So I think that's what are you letting in?
Mm-hmm.
What do you, where's the chink in your armor that something's getting through? Are you leaving yourself vulnerable or open to certain things or aspects of your life because you're, that one's not going to affect me, or that's not going to affect me? Are you leaving yourself open somewhere? And I think we all do in one way or another. But going back to context, which kind of the name of the show, but we have to remember this book is the book of Ephesians.
Mm-hmm.
Let me read Ephesians 2:2. I think this is a really cool passage. It kind of gives us a little more insight into what was going on. It says, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. So, in Ephesus, where this was written, was the temple of Artemis.
Mm-hmm.
Was considered one of the great ancient wonders of the world. And there was massive pagan worship happening here. When Paul's writing this, he's saying, you used to live in sin. He's talking to the believers at that time. He's talking to the church in Ephesus. So when we see that, he's saying those who are still in those old pagan way of life, you're obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at the work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. You've left yourself open. You don't have any of that spiritual armor on. And this is where when you get to a more, we talk about spiritual warfare in the sense, like, for me, my biggest thing is insecurity in a lot of things. I never feel like I'm good enough, and it's one of those things where I have to pray about it. I have to, because I always feel like I fall short for my family, for everything. That's just something that I always feel. And I know it's not always true, but it's something I always feel. But I was going somewhere with this. It's going to be good in a second. What I was going to say is, but I still have the Holy Spirit in me, right? You know, mm-hmm. we've accepted the Holy Spirit. He creates a home inside you. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. It usurped the temple that was, the in Jerusalem, because, no longer do we need an intercessor to go to go into the temple and reach out to God for us. Jesus became our intercessor. So now we have the Holy Spirit living inside us. We have a direct connection to God.
Mm-hmm.
When you don't have that, you're like a car waiting for a driver. If you don't have the Holy Spirit at the wheel, you're like a car waiting for a driver. So the car door's unlocked. Keys are in it. Who are you giving the steering wheel to? Who's driving it?
Mm-hmm.
And that right there is what, it literally says in that passage, he is the spirit in the work, or I'm sorry, at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. He's in their heart, not the Holy Spirit. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, the devil's getting in there. The Holy Spirit, it's like when you even get to a more physical sense of it in the, like, you hear about demonic possession. I'm sorry if people think that's just a movie or whatnot. That's a very real thing. Now, we as Christians who have, or followers of the way, as I even prefer more, but we who have the Holy Spirit inside us, we can't be possessed. We can definitely be oppressed, because we allow certain things in, but we can't be possessed. But if you don't have that Holy Spirit, you open yourself up to any number of different spiritual attacks, all the way up to possession. I mean, I think there's a, it's leaving, that's not just leaving the window open a crack, that's leaving the door open all the way.
No, it is. But I think it's also, I think it's important to make sure that we kind of touch on the fact that spiritual warfare comes in different forms for different people, because again, it's going to be your weakest link. It's going to be, you know, and it's the same thing, whereas, you know, you're, everybody sins differently. Mm-hmm. And the guidance that God gives me isn't always what he gives you, isn't what he's going to give our kids, our family. You know, everybody has a little bit different, because there are things that are going to make you fall that aren't going to make me fall. And there's things that are make, you know, and vice versa. We're all different people. So, you know, there's certain, I don't want to say there's different rules for everybody, because it's the same rules, but it's just a matter of what is going to affect your salvation or affect you to fall. And that's the same thing in regards to spiritual warfare. And I think, you know, you had said in the beginning regarding how a lot of times it's preached that it's just how to handle people coming at you, you know, human people, as you stated earlier, human people, just so we're clear. But it can be that, but it's just not, that's not the end of it, because I know for a fact that if you're on a mission from God and you have all your spiritual armor on, right? Like, you are making sure that you are protected from head to toe, right? You are walking in peace. You have the word of God as your sword. You are completely covered, and you know that you're doing what you need to be doing, and you're focused. So then Satan's going to be like, okay, he's focused. Let's find a member of his family who's not. Let's find somebody who we can shoot at that they're going to actually ring true. So then, because the minute that something like that happens, it doesn't even need to be your family member. It could be a friend. It could be the person in the car next to you that does something really silly, you know, and causes you to just kind of lose focus. You know, there are things that then roadblocks kind of start coming up because they want to derail you from your mission from God. So some of that is specific to people, because Satan, again, broad term, not specific man, but can use others to affect your walk. Because if you get derailed because you're focused on an issue that we have, an issue that the kids have, something at, you know, at work, or, you know, again, like just circumstances, if you get caught up in that, then Satan's done his job. Like, he hasn't come at you directly. It's that indirect attack where he's affecting those around you. And I know there's been times when I've had to step back and say some prayer, saying, is this something that I'm bringing to him that is fully me? And because I'm under a spiritual attack, because he's doing something that I know that he's supposed to be doing? Or is this something that I need to address? And I had, you know, I've had to go to the word. I've had to pray. I've had to kind of sit in silence to hear God's voice telling me what I'm supposed to say. You know, and there's been times when I know that I've said things and done things that I know were more of an attack towards you spiritually, because I've let, where my guard was down, I've let that affect things that go on here, right? And then, you know, with, even if it's with our kids, with our marriage, anything, you know, and then there's also been the times where I've, you know, because I've learned from that. And there's a difference when you run it through, and I'm taking the step back and I'm taking the moment to make sure my head's in the right spot and my everything is kind of secured. Because the difference I feel if I've either addressed that or not, the peace that I feel is different than if, you know, I know that I did it out of I did it out of just a, you know, you're doing it as a, not on a whim, but just you're reacting. You're not taking the moment to make sure that what you're stating is not from God, I guess is probably the word I'm looking for there.
I think you're right. I think,
and that's recorded.
I haven't edited this yet, but, I think I want to think kind of two things here as we're kind of getting, I think close towards the end. I'm not 100% sure how much more you have to say, but I will let you go.
You said I wasn't talking enough in the beginning.
You're doing great. I love it. I think something that we have to remember is we read that passage at the beginning, Ephesians 6, and we went 10 to 18.
Mm-hmm.
The passage, Ephesians 6, 12, is talking about the not flesh and blood enemies, the evil rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Read Mike Heiser's book, Unseen Realm, if you ever have a chance. Unbelievable book, changed how I viewed a lot of things. And it's all scripturally based. I'm not just saying I'm taking somebody's word over scripture. Remember, always go back to the scripture, as we said. But verse 18 in that text says, and I think this is the key.
It is. I'm just glad you got to it. I'm glad you brought it up. I should say, not that you got there, but that you brought it up because I was going to.
I quit. Verse 18, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. We need to be in prayer. That is the connection that God gave us, to the point where Jesus taught them how to pray, taught his disciples how to pray, originally using the Lord's Prayer. But then you even see how Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane. You see how, you know, it's not my will, but your will be done, Father. But prayer is our direct connection to God. We can speak to him and he hears you. Now, prayer and the things that we ask for and things like this, we have to always understand it's what God knows best, what his will is far beyond what we can understand and see through, but know that God hears you. There's actually that part in Daniel, and I don't have it pulled up right now, but there's a part in Daniel when Daniel starts praying, and 2 weeks later, an angel shows up to him, and he goes, I had to fight the prince of Persia until your angel, your prince, Michael, the archangel Michael, came to let that angel through. And he said it took him 2 weeks to get to him. He goes, but God heard your prayer the moment you opened your mouth. God hears you.
Mm-hmm.
God listens to us. We have a direct speak pipe, a direct line. We have God's cell phone number in heaven. We call him, and he hears us. How he answers might not always be how you want him to answer, but he hears us. But when you're struggling, you're going through something, some kind of spiritual warfare, God is always just a prayer away. Now, this takes me into just one other thing that, and I think this is really important, and we'll talk about this on Sunday a little bit, but how when we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, we're meant to be, we're imagers of God. We now have the Holy Spirit inside of us ever since that Pentecost.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not meant to stand idly by or be there. It says that prayer and says, pray for all believers everywhere. We're meant to be those who reach out to people, not just trying to, make new believers, but to strengthen believers as well. There's multiple times where it talks about Paul going around and just strengthening the believers who already believed. And it's the parable of the sower, right? Some of them get a quick sprout and then they wither out. Or they scattered on the ground and the birds come, like the seeds were planted. He's going back to water.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that we're called to do too. We need to go back and water and be there for people too. So when you see someone struggling and going through some spiritual warfare, and let's just be honest, most times people do hide it really well. When I'm struggling with something, I can have a smile on at work, but when I'm home, it's very different. And Liz is, we've been married 20 years now. Man, she's lucky. we've been married 20 years now, and you think about the fact that she knows me better than any person here on earth. She knows what to look for when I'm struggling. She sees it. She goes through it. She is there to help us. She is there to help me through the struggles, the trials, the tribulations, the things that I go through. Now, there are people that God will put in our life that are going through something like that, and we're meant to reach out to them. We're meant to help them. We're meant to be that whole Jesus with some skin on thing, as we've talked about in the past. But we're meant to be Jesus to those people. And he uses us. And the crazy thing about God that I absolutely love is he never needed us. He doesn't need us. But he allows us to be part of his plan. He allows us to interact and lets us weave in with the rest of the members of the church, the rest of the body of Christ. And we just weave together and we make this the bridegroom of Christ. It's just an amazing thing. And mm-hmm. I find it, it's just one of those things where I get to play a part. It's like, ooh, I got picked. I wasn't last in kickball. You know what I mean? Like, I got picked first, or, you know, wherever I got picked, but I got picked.
I think it's, you know, you're talking about how people hide their struggles. And I know we do. The people that start to know us best are the ones that are going to figure out, like, hey, you were off today. Something's not right. What's wrong? You know, and then it's up to you whether or not you're sharing the level of crazy you might be going through at that moment in your head. But it also, on the opposite side of that, if you're not seeing it, you might not see it, but God says, hey, and puts that person on your mind. Whether that comes from, I always did it, and I still do it now, but, you know, sometimes, you know, somebody that you haven't seen in years shows up in your dream one night. So the next morning I'm waking up and I'm saying a prayer. Like, Lord, I haven't thought about that person in years. I don't know if you put them on my mind for a reason, but I'm going to say a prayer for them anyway. You know, and then the same thing, like you're at church and you see somebody, like, you know what, I'm going to go say hi to them, or I'm going to go and give them a hug. You're going to go and, you know, let's invite them over for lunch. Let's go to dinner. Let's go, you know, when you have that inkling, just that nudge, you know, that's 9 times out of 10, that's God saying, hey, they need to hear something, you know, whether it's from you, they need encouragement. They just need you to know that they're not alone. You know, and that's part of the reason, you know, I mean, our church is pretty, it's a small church, it's growing, but it's a small church, but our church is a community. We're a, you know, that's, you know, within the men's and women's group, I know we talked about that when we had our joint meeting. It was just a matter of making sure that on all levels we're there, because Doug will talk a lot about, you know, about praying that somebody crosses your path, right? And I know you've talked about your mom stating that as well, that praying that, you know, God has somebody that crosses your path that you can share him with, be the Jesus with skin on, and don't miss it, right? But sometimes that's not just somebody random on the street. That's somebody that you already know. That's somebody within your church that is just going through it. You know, it's the same thing when you talk about missionaries. It's amazing to have missionaries going overseas, going to different countries and sharing the love of God. But sometimes we need that here still. You know, we still need that fire going around to different churches, to different communities, to different areas in just the U.S., you know, for to share more of the love of God here, you know, to make sure that we all still are on fire, which I think, you know, sometimes that comes from, so I think it's important to be, you know, be in church. I know finding a church is very, very hard, you know, but it's, you need to be in a community with people who have the same values. So when you're going through something, you know, you're going to a community that's going to point you to in the right direction, you know, and, you know, you talked about prayer being the final, you know, pretty much like the final armor. And I think that's one of the hardest things. And for me is prayer, because, you know, I know they talk, you know, when you're talking about how the Lord told us to pray within the Lord's Prayer, I know some, for years, I took that as literal, right? This is the prayer that we're supposed to pray, but he was just providing you an example in regards to how prayer needed to look. You know, it's recognizing God's greatness. It's thanking him for the provisions. It's, you know, here's my request. You know, it's not just a specific, I mean, that prayer ends up getting repetitive and gets repeated everywhere, but it's a matter of just applying that outline to your prayers, you know, making sure that that's mirrored. So you're understanding the greatness of God. You're respecting his authority. You're thanking him for the provisions that you have, because, you know, without them, without him, you wouldn't have them. And then, you know, you're just, you know, and then you're kind of requesting it. But all matters is always at the end, not my will, but yours, you know, and that's also hard as a mom, you know, as a parent, you know, you're like, okay, you know, protect my kids. And then in the end, but they're yours. I know they're mine here, but I know they're yours. And so that's the hardest thing, is to think about, you know, what God has planned for them and, you know, their time here. And it's hard to always, it's the hardest thing is to always give up that, I don't know, they'll give the reins over to God when it comes to stuff like that.
Well, I think a little bit in summation, as I mean, I think you summed it up really well there, is, but we need to just continually be in prayer. We need to always make sure that God is the focus, and the more that we're on the spiritual path and journey that God wants us, the easier it is to see those spiritual attacks coming and to combat them. So we just need to continue to walk in faith, be continually in prayer, and I was gonna say keep digging, but that's just what we always say. So
and keep digging into your Bible.
Pun intended.
Pun intended.